This next question was interesting, and I got it this week. I believe I answered it in part about holy days before, but not in whole. And I wish I would have answered it last week, because it would have fit better last week. The question is Lent in the Bible? Should Christians give up something for Lent? And the reason I wish I would have answered it last week is, do you know what happened and started on Wednesday? Ash Wednesday was last Wednesday. So I'm a week behind when I answer this question. And probably the question was submitted this week because it was fresh in someone's mind. All right, that's probably why. Now, there is a natural time of year, right? This much, however, is beyond dispute. So I'll just start with the presupposition and then we'll flesh this presupposition out. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to observe Ash Wednesday or Lent. But beyond that, we are also not commanded anywhere in the Bible to observe Good Friday, Easter, Christmas, or any other holy day. Did you know that? Nowhere. You won't find any of these things as commands in Scripture. I think it's interesting how we have adopted things like Easter and Good Friday, but if we're going to answer it honestly about Lent, we must also answer it honestly about Easter. So if you have an issue, in one sense, you need to be intellectually honest and recognize from the outset, this could apply to any of these things. Would we be okay? I'm not saying we're not going to do this. We're going to still celebrate Easter. I enjoy doing that. But I do point this out to say, would it be okay and not sinning if this church decided we're not doing Easter this year? Yeah, it would. I don't think it'd be the best idea because it ends up being a great evangelistic tool because everybody around there is thinking about Easter, but you wouldn't be sinning if you didn't do it. But that does bring us back to Lent because Lent is different than Easter in some ways. And let me point that out to you. Let's begin just looking back at the history. Historically, Lent can find its primary roots in the liturgical calendars developed in the 4th century as Romanism began to dominate spheres and empires. And their cultural dominance of Romanism or Roman Catholicism required of them two things in order for them to have dominance. Control of time and control of space. And control of space was achieved through churches and relics. They cherished these. And in some ways, God used their wrong command and control to preserve even the word because they were holding on to this as a relic that even people sitting in the church weren't allowed to have. But aside from that, there were other relics. So they had this control of space that was achieved through churches and relics that really kept people under wraps. You don't want to be ostracized. You don't want to be kicked out. You know, there's just this real fear that they had. The Romans also wanted to control time, and that was achieved through the development of a calendar, which gave a rhythm of time, a specifically Catholic tradition, where they had Easter at certain times, or Lent at certain times, and so on. And Lent, then, grew outside of Romanism into the later practices of the Anglican Church, which only makes sense if you know the history of the Anglican Church and much of the shared history between the two. But the rise of Lent in non-Roman or Protestant circles is somewhat of a fascinating phenomenon. I don't know if you ever read the blog writer Tim Challies. He's worth picking up and reading every once in a while. Not picking up because he's on your computer. Author Tim Challies argues that Lent has risen in popularity within Protestant circles, predominantly in the Reformed tradition, which he happens to be a part of. But even though he's part of the Reformed tradition, and Baptists are not traditionally, we are dispensationalists, he still doesn't think it's right. Tim Challies says, Lent is not normative or even a typical practice within Reformed tradition. To the contrary, the Reformed tradition has historically opposed Lent. In fact, quite famously so. In 1522, Protestant followers of the Zurich reformer Ulrich Zwingli famously broke Lenten fast by eating sausages as a symbol of their freedom in Christ. I thought that was a historical funny factoid there. Carl Truman continued and said this much, just as celebrating July the 4th makes sense for Americans, but not for English, the Chinese, or the Laps, so Ash Wednesday and Lent really makes no sense to those who are Protestants, Baptists, or Free Church evangelicals. Now, let's give a perspective to Lent. The rise of Lent is a little bit of a strange phenomenon. It has grown in popularity, even amongst evangelical circles. You no longer only see ashy foreheads in Catholic churches. You'll see those in just Protestant churches as well now, which is a little bit bizarre, which is basically what those two authors are saying. But I would say that I propose this perspective on Lent. Number one, Lent is not prescribed in Scripture. I already gave that to you at the beginning. Baptists generally follow the Zwinglian principle, which is called regulative principle. It's the regulative principle of worship. If you've never heard of that before, it's a principle that says we should practice only what is explicitly commanded in the New Testament. It's the regulative principle of worship. You've heard me use the regulative principle, not calling it the regulative principle, but use it before when it comes to, for example, congregational polity. Every once in a while I'll say, well, the Bible only gives the congregation six things to vote on. Anybody remember me hear that? And I'll list out those six things. That's because I'm Baptist. And I follow the regulative principle of worship. We only follow exactly what the Bible says and is explicitly commanded in Scripture. And Lent is not prescribed in Scripture. Secondly, when dealing with doubtful issues, and if you want to put Lent as a doubtful issue, you could. The best practice when it comes to doubtful issues is not to do them. When you are unsure of an activity, whether it is right or wrong, the doubt principle says, do not do that activity. In fact, the Bible goes as far as to say that engaging in something you're not sure about could be a sin in and of itself. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, remember? But he who doubts, Romans 14, verse 23, is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith or knowledge. For what is not from faith is sin. He's saying is, if you're unsure, could this be right? Could this be wrong? You know what the best practice is? Just don't do it. Honestly, that's really freeing in a lot of choices in life, right? A lot of people get so hung up. Should I or shouldn't I? I could be wrong. It could be sin. You know what? Just don't do it. That's basically what he's saying. Romanism does have its root. And I would argue Lent does have its root in Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism does not share the same gospel. While some Lutheran churches that do practice Lent do preach a solid gospel, and some even now Protestant circles do, it is fair to say Roman Catholics compromise the majority of participants in Lent. Those who believe in sola scriptura, or the Bible alone, would do well to avoid equating yourself with someone in a practice which does not believe in sola scriptura or the Bible alone, and the Roman Catholic Church does not believe in sola scriptura as their own tenets state. Fourthly, public announcements of Christian piety, especially in the area of fasting, are at best biblically questionable. It's actually quite bizarre that a professing evangelical who partakes in Lent would take a picture of it and post about it, right? You know, it's actually really bizarre, right? Even within Roman Catholic churches, that you would take a picture of their ashy forehead, right? It kind of blows in the face of what actually real fasting is all about. Christians are called to fast in a spirit of humility, the Bible says, if you do fast, that does not draw attention to it, so that your fast is between you and your Lord alone. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites, who make a sad countenance. They disfigure their face. They appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their own reward. They made it look like they were fasting. But you, if you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. Pretty clear what he's saying, isn't it? He's saying, don't make, I'm just so hungry. I haven't eaten so long. Why are you hungry? Well, you know, I'm just praying a lot. You know, just want to let you know that. You know, come into church with your sackcloth and droopy face, right? Maybe even rough it up a little bit so people really know that you're really fasting. What he says here is, if you do fast, actually put on your best shirt, iron it, brush your teeth, put on a smile, so nobody knows but you and the Lord that this is what you're doing. Psalm 69, verse 10 even says it in the Old Testament. When I slept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. He's doing it in secret. Nehemiah 1 verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and prayed and fasted before the Lord only, who is God in heaven. Fasting shouldn't be this public pronouncement. And fasting shouldn't be limited to a season. It should be done year round. But we are not biblically required to fast. And this was a question that was asked last year. So I guess you could ask it again or we could repeat it. We did go over this. The Bible does present fasting as something which is good, profitable, and beneficial. There are countless examples of people in Scripture who fasted for a wide variety of reasons. But it is not a requirement. And I think that there's good reason for that, even medically, right? Certain people shouldn't fast. That would be dangerous for their health, right? There are certain people that are, I remember my grandpa's a diabetic. That's probably not the best idea in those circumstances, perhaps at least in terms of food. You could try other things. The Bible does say it is a good practice, though. It does recommend it. It even gives us stories of both Old and New Testament characters. On a New Testament, you can read about it in Acts 13, 22 and Acts 14, verse 23 to show you this is not just an Old Testament practice. It is a New Testament. But it doesn't tell you you set aside this month or this week to do that, right? By the way, I think in terms of Lent, because it actually has become more and more popular. Am I the only one that has noticed that it's growing in popularity a little bit? All right, okay. It has been. It is interesting that you'll see it because it's growing in popularity. They'll be preparing for Lent by having like chocolate feasts before Lent, knowing they're not going to have chocolate for the next week or so, and then they'll have like a feast afterwards. And I'm careful, I don't ever really say this really loudly, all right? That almost to me is, and I never want to say it's blasphemous outright, because that's between the Lord to decide. It sounds blasphemous, is all I'm saying. It sounds like you're really treading on areas of holiness and making a mockery of something that really should be holy. I would never accuse someone of being blasphemous in that sense unless it's clear. And that to me is perhaps not clear, but you're certainly treading on dangerous waters, or as we would say out east, but we don't say in Florida, you're on thin ice, right? So is Lent in the Bible? I hope that would be a help for you.